Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. You know, for those of you who are not familiar with the expression, a God morning to you, an encounter that Jesus had in the Gospels, one called Jesus a good master. And Jesus's response was, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Don't call me master alone unless you recognize I'm God. Those words, none good but God, I say, God morning to you, that a spark, if you will, of an awareness of God's presence might be upon you. That's called godliness, awareness of God's presence. What's called, or what's defined as ungodliness, is lack of awareness of God's presence. Now, today, I have the joy of presenting a picture, because it requires many, but a picture of the gospel, that is the good news, that is the God spiel, that is God speaking good to us, because he is a good speaking God. I think through these next several weeks of summer, which is about to be on us, we're going to dig into the book of Galatians. It's my experience that very few churches will teach from the book of Galatians. It's Paul's declaration of independence from the traditions of man. This morning, I'm going to start out in the middle of the book. We're going to do a little word study. I don't think it's going to be too long of a session today, but I'm gripped by this picture. I hope I am adequately equipped to communicate this picture effectively. Beginning in the 22nd verse of the third chapter, the Apostle Paul says, "But the Scripture has concluded all under sin." this word sin, often bantied about with this particular performance or that particular lack of performance. In the New Testament, the word translated into English sin, the Greek word is hamartia, and it means to fall short. No matter how close you come to that standard, which is found in the law, no matter how close you come to performing up to that standard, our condition is falling short. But the scripture has concluded all falling short, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them, King James translates, believe. Now, if you looked at 100 translations, and there are at least 100 in English, 97% of them are going to say that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Folks, the original says faith of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded, I think it's in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and it is. If we go, let's take a side road for a moment. I do this oft times with folks that come to the museum, and I'm giving them a tour. It says in the 21st verse of the 7th chapter, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name do many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's Jesus saying? These folks in that day were testifying of themselves and not of the wondrous, astonishing gifts that God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, this word, promise, by faith, Greek word is pistis. It's a noun. Jesus Christ had faith, and that faith that Jesus Christ had might be given to them that believe. The Greek word is pistousin. I know some of you, look, I'm not a great grammar student either, but I can read, and I'm reporting, I'm declaring that this word pistousin is in the dative case, and when you encounter in the Greek grammar the dative case, that's something being done on someone. It's not generated from inside, it is done onto from outside. And it's a participial word to them believing, to them fathing. It's not a one-time affair. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now we encounter the word faith twice in this 23rd verse, and the Greek word here is pistin. It's in the accusative case. Hang on. In Romans 1:17, it says, translated King James, from faith to faith. The Greek is ekpistios, eis pistin. Try to grab this, folks. Pistios, it's that which is generated. It's in the genitive. It's that which we generate. To every man a measure of faith is given. From ek, out of pistios, that which we generate, eis pistin. It's not the same word. Can you hear it? It's not the same word. Pistin is in the accusative case. Now, the accusative is that which is done to. Again, an outward, something outside of ourselves. When we're generating faith, it says God adds pistin. What's the pistin? It's the faith of Christ. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. An interlinear translation would say, the law was our trainer to bring us unto Christ. That's the purpose of, that's the whole purpose of the law. Number one, to show us that we have fallen short of it, that we can't do it ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, salvation has come by his faith to bring us unto Christ, that we might be, King James says, justified by faith. This word being translated justified is a DK word, and it means to render righteousified. Not legal. Oh, the law says that, you know, you're justified by legal imputation. No. By God's word and by his gift, that we might be rendered righteousified by faith. 25th verse. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. But after that faith, what faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. Which was to be revealed afterwards, after the law, the New Testament. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a trainer, under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For ye are all children of God by the faith, literal in the Greek, definite article. Pisteos is the word. It's a verb. Same root as pistousin. It's active. By faith in Christ. Now, in the Greek, this word translated I-N, in, spelt in the Greek E-N, it means in, or at, or on, or by, or with, or among Christ Jesus. By the faith, that wonderful verse in Romans, third chapter, 22nd verse, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all the faithing ones, literally translated, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, there's a passage also in the New Testament. I'm sorry, I don't remember, but it's in my brain somewhere. It says that that we are circumcised without hands. You know, let me give you the literal. It says, for as many as you have been submerged into Christ, Christ here is a noun, but it's in the accusative. He's the submerging. Is coming from him. This is not, you know, as a good Baptist, come down and get dunked and be saved forever. That's not what baptism is. But baptism is an outward sign to show that we have an understanding that we were crucified with Christ, that we died with Christ, and that as God rose Jesus, raised up Jesus from the dead, he will also quicken our mortal body. When we come out of that water, we wake to newness of life, we wake to a new creation. We now become a dual creation. The old man is still alive, folks, and still kicking. He's still kicking against that Spirit of God, because the Galatian letter also tells us, you know, that The flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit warreth against the flesh. But it says here, we have been submerged into Christ, have put on Christ. The literal translation from the Greek is as many as. Four, gar. Now, this is an explanation of what's about to come. For into Christ ye were submerged. Christ ye have put on. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female. There's neither Pentecostal or Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic or whatever other religion you might participate in. That's not what saves you. It is, or that's not what makes you righteous. It is the faith of Jesus Christ, a gift of God. As Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace through faith are ye saved, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, or all that other stuff I added. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Remember, we went through his prayer the last couple of weeks. Jesus said as he's praying, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one. In one, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And he ended that prayer by saying, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Paul explains in that great eighth chapter of the book of Romans that when Christ is in you, you are in Christ. Are you getting the picture? Christ is who God sees when he looks at the ones faithing. Ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. literal of this from the Greek, the 28th verse, if now ye are Christ's, then the Abraham's seed. And we're going to explain that one as we get into the fourth chapter of this book of Galatians. That's coming sometime down the road. Then the Abraham seed, it's not seeds, seed singular. Then the Abraham seed, you are. Literal is Abraham's seed. You exist right now. It's present. It's active. According to the promise, heirs. Going back to that eighth chapter of the book of Romans, it says in the 16th verse, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You know, I can't, I started out with joy because of the understanding through searching out the word to deliver this message. But it goes on to say, you know, there's something that comes along with this life, with this new life, with this gift of God. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's what's coming, folks. The promise is heirs, children, joint heirs with Christ. The journey, it involves some suffering. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to go nail ourselves to the cross. That's not what it's talking about. But if suffering comes, look to God in Jesus Christ. And let the joy of that promise yet to be fulfilled cause you to take whatever suffering might come, take it on the chin and move on. I assure you by the word of God, God is doing all this for himself because he wants to spend eternity with those who will trust him. He wants to spend eternity with the ones faithing. He wants to spend eternity with the ones who are acting on his promises as though they are more real. They're more substantial than anything we might see, feel, or encounter. And that's the God School for today.